Hey guys, I'm Paul Bates, and this is the Fermentation Podcast. Join me on this journey to put fermentation into practice, create culture, and revive this lost art that connects all of us to our cultures of the past. Today is Friday, July 25th, 2014, and this is episode number 4. So today I hope I have a pretty interesting one for you. It interests me a lot, and I've made quite a few of these, and they're very, very good. It's how to make ginger beer and other lacto-fermented sodas. In this one, I try to go over some of the benefits of ginger beer, maybe the history of it, how to create a ginger bug, what kind of ginger beers you can make with the type of flavors that you have available to you, different ways of brewing ginger beer, and just all of the different interesting ingredients that you can use. My hope with this episode is by the end of it, you'll have exactly what you need to go out, make your own ginger beer, and be able to share that with others and get others excited about it. I remember a while ago, I was telling my friend and coworker, this guy named Bill, at a company I recently worked at, and I kept telling him about this ginger ale that I made. It was so good. You had to try it. He's like, yeah, you know, I'll have to check it out sometime. So I brought in a bottle, and as soon as I popped the top and poured him a little bit, as soon as he tasted it, his eyes lit up. And within like a couple weeks or so, he was already sharing the brew that he made with me to see how I liked his. It was pretty awesome, and I guess he's already inspired a bunch of other people to make ginger beer also, but that's just the power of this stuff. It tastes so good. Once you have a little bit of it, you'll just be amazed. So before I get into it, all the topics and links for today's show will be in the show notes at fermentationpodcast.com. And if you'd like to get a hold of me, email me at paul@fermentationpodcast.com or go to the website and click the contact button on the top. You can also connect with me on Facebook, Pinterest, YouTube, and Twitter. Just go to fermentationpodcast.com and you should see the links in the sidebar. All right, today I want to go over a great topic that a lot of people are interested in, I'm very interested in, and that's ginger ale, ginger beer, how to make ginger ale, or more specifically, how to make ginger beer. I'll go over the differences on those later. But you start with a ginger bug, and then that becomes the basis of several different other lacto-fermented sodas. So just to start off with, what does ginger beer taste like? Ginger beer, to me, it has like a spiciness to it, almost like a carbonation, a little bit of a sourness, and somewhat of a sweet flavor that it tastes so amazing to me that I think you would just want to share this. So to start off with some of the benefits, what would be the benefits of drinking ginger beer, or what would be some of the benefits that ginger can provide to you? To start off, one thing that I really enjoy is knowing that when you're drinking ginger beer, you're drinking the real stuff, not the fake stuff that you would see nowadays on a store shelf, which would be a carbonated soda that just has a flavoring, but you're drinking the real stuff that actually has the true ginger flavor and all the benefits that ginger can provide to you. So this makes me think of a plane trip I just took recently with my wife, and you're sitting in the seat. The stewardess comes along, asks, what do you want to drink? I say ginger ale, and what she gives me is a can of ginger ale that I look in the ingredients, and what I saw was soda water, high fructose corn syrup, and just a ginger flavor. When I compare that to what I actually make now, that's completely different. That's just a bunch of crap that I would rather not even partake in. The flavor is just not there when it comes to conventionally made ginger ales nowadays. It's so much better when you make it yourself. And some of the health benefits are not there. So say like the natural lactic acid bacteria and some of the yeast that are present in homemade ginger beer, I think you just get more of that great taste. Some of the other benefits that you get from drinking something that's right from the natural ginger plant, you can get better digestion. And say you have gas or cramping or something like that, traditionally in history, it's been used as a medicine or almost like a home remedy where you take a little bit of ginger juice or even chew up a little bit of ginger and it reduces the cramping, reduces the gas. You just digest things a lot better. And also when you take ginger, say if you took it raw, it has like this real bite, like a spiciness to it. And that actually transfers into the ginger beer when you drink it. It's actually been shown that it stimulates circulation, and it almost like has a quickening effect to your body. So drink a little bit of ginger ale, or, you know, now that I more specifically refer to it as ginger beer, drink a little bit and you'll feel like a sudden rush, like you want to run around, or just a quickening overall of your body. And like I said before, around the world, it's even been shown that if you ingest a little bit, it might even lower your blood pressure slightly and allows the heart to pump more efficiently. Other things have been shown, it's almost like similar to like aspirin, where it reduces clotting. So I'm not saying you can definitely take it as a medicine, but around the world, people have used it for similar things like this. Another one you'd probably be a lot more familiar with would be like nausea. So say if you're going to take Dramamine for some kind of motion sickness, you can either chew a piece of ginger and swallow the liquid, or you can just pop open a bottle of ginger beer, take a swig, and you're probably going to be good to go. So there are definitely a lot of different things that it can be useful for, but mainly I just like the flavor. I just love to drink it. And to go into some of the history of ginger beer and ginger ale, you might be thinking, what is even the difference between the two? And to tell you the difference, ginger beer is more fermented or brewed, and ginger ale is more commonly what you know of as like a carbonated water. It's almost like a soda water that's had flavor added to it. So I don't even consider it like a true ginger beer, because it's not. And the history kind of varies where it came from. Nobody can really nail it down, but it's commonly thought of, it started in the 1800s in England, where it had somewhat of a good alcohol content. One place I've seen, I think it said about 11% or something like that. And later in Ireland is thought to be more where ginger ale came from. And then it was more like a tonic. So when it first came over to the Americas around 1890, there was a guy named John McLaughlin who started a soda water bottling company and then began to add like a ginger flavor to it, which eventually became known as Canada Dry Ginger Ale. And you probably still even see that on the shelves today. And back then it actually became very popular during Prohibition, when alcohol was actually illegal. You couldn't drink any alcohol, so that almost kind of took its place as a stronger type of a drink. And I was looking through a book called Sacred and Herbal Healing Beers by Stephen Hare Buhner, and there's a quote in there from a guy named Sanborn Brown in 1978, where he says, "There were times in the country's history before the introduction of lager beer when the commercial sale of ginger beer exceeded both hopped beer or cider." And I find that pretty amazing that ginger beer was actually more popular than the beer that we know of today. It's also pretty interesting that the beer that we know of today has completely taken over, and now ginger beer is now just ginger ale, which is just soda water with a flavoring added. So I figured I would just go over some of that history, because I find it pretty interesting how it kind of started off, and I thought you would have appreciated it too, but enough with the history, let's get right into how do you make ginger beer. And the first thing that I would go over is something called ginger bug, which is like the starter or the precursor to making ginger beer. But there are two ways to start this off. There's a yeast and a lactic acid way, and there's just a lactic acid only way. And that depends on which one do you want. So the yeast and lactic acid, it's slightly less of a sour taste and more of almost like a wine-ish type of a taste, and the lactic acid only is a lot more sour. So to start off with the more common yeast and lactic acid method, which is the one I like to use, you start off and fill a mason jar, which is probably going to be maybe like 1/4 so. You fill it with non-chlorinated water, and the reason that you use non-chlorinated water, like I said before, is you don't want to kill the organisms that you're trying to culture. So you fill it with non-chlorinated water, and you add about 1 tablespoon of fresh ginger, finely chopped. And make sure to leave the skins on there, because that's where a lot of the bacteria and the yeast, they live on the surface. And after you put the ginger in, you put 1 tablespoon of sugar. And you stir it up several times a day. So maybe in the morning or in the afternoon or in the evening, just whenever you think of it, make sure to keep on stirring that thing. What you're doing is you're introducing oxygen into the mixture, and the yeast like oxygen. The yeast kind of feed off of oxygen. It's almost like their fuel along with the sugar. And by the third day, it should get pretty bubbly. And you know it's pretty bubbly when you go to the mason jar and you put your ear next to it and just barely slightly nudge the jar. You should just hear bubbles jumping out of the top. And if you don't get any bubbles, say after the third day, or maybe even after about a week, you might even have a ginger root that's been irradiated. So they've actually subjected it to radiation to kill all the organisms on it. So if you're trying to make a culture from that ginger, it's not going to work. So what you want to do is, if it doesn't work, go and try to find some more ginger, but make sure it's organic this time, because currently organic ginger is not supposed to be irradiated. So that's making ginger bug by the method that I like to use. Now, some other people, they like to use just the lactic acid only method, which is where you take whey. So when you make cheese, you squeeze all the solids out of it. Usually what floats to the top is this liquid called whey, and it has completely different organisms than you would expect from a regular lactic acid fermentation. And using whey makes a more sour fermentation, which is why I like to use the other method. But if you like it more sour, all you would have to do is mix grated ginger, filtered water, whey, and then put in a sealed container, which is just sealed off from air, and ferment for about 3 to 7 days, making sure to off-gas it. You could probably even use a loosely fitting jar lid, because no air should get in there, and CO2 is actually trying to escape. And say that now you have a ginger bug, and you went with the first method. You would actually make a syrup after that. If you went with the second method, you would actually just ferment that straight out, and that would be your ginger ale. So now actually continuing on with the conventional ginger bug, you have this ginger bug that you can store in the refrigerator and just take out every so often, maybe every few weeks or even like a month, and just feed it a little bit more ginger, feed it a little bit more sugar, and it'll revive it. But those organisms will always be there unless you leave it too long and then they die. So now that you have the ginger bug, it's time to go on and make some ginger beer. So the first step after getting the ginger bug is you want to make a syrup. So for the recipe I like to use, I usually like to make about a gallon or so of ginger beer. And to make the syrup, what you're going to do is take a pot, fill it with about 1/2 gallon of filtered water, and about 1/3 cup of grated ginger root, which is about 2.5 ounces. And sometimes I even like to double that amount of ginger just to make it really spicy. And you're going to boil that for anywhere from 10 minutes to a half hour just to get all of the flavor concentrated out of that ginger and into the water to make the syrup. And once it's finally cooked down into a strong ginger syrup, you add about 1.5 cups of sugar. So now you have nearly a full gallon of the ginger syrup, which is still slightly warm to the touch. So if you were going to pour the ginger bug in here next to inoculate it, it would actually kill off all the organisms in there. So you have to wait for it to cool down to room temperature. Or when you touch the jar, it'll be enough to where you can't even feel any warmth. So now that you have about a gallon of cooled syrup, you want to inoculate it with that ginger bug so all of those organisms can eat the sugar and make the ginger beer that you want. So the ratio of starter that I like to use is about 1/4 cup of ginger bug to 1 quart of liquid. So if you have 2 quarts, it's going to be 1/2 cup. If you have 1 gallon, which is 4 quarts, it's going to be 1 cup of ginger bug starter. And at this point, I also like to add a little bit of lemon juice just to give it that extra acidifying flavor that lemon juice provides. So now that you have all the ingredients in the gallon-sized mason jar, you want to stir this vigorously. And just like when you made the ginger bug, you want to stir this maybe like 2-3 times a day for about 3 days or so. And at this point, you have a few options. You can either taste it every day to see how the flavor is coming along as it brews, or once it reaches that flavor that you like, you can either bottle it and carbonate it or drink it the way it is. If you want to bottle it, usually what I do is I bought some of those brown flip-top bottles that look like beer bottles. Or you can go out and buy, say, like a 6-pack of that Grolsch-style beer with the flip-top that's in the green bottles. And then once the beer is gone, just go ahead and use those. So once you have the bottles, just go ahead and clean the bottles. You don't have to completely sterilize them like you do with regular beer, because the community of lactic acid bacteria and the yeast are so strong in there. There's so many. There's nothing that can really contaminate the batch. So now go ahead and funnel the ginger beer into the bottles, where you'll probably bottle for about 1 or 2 days. But I have to caution you, if you're going to bottle for that long, you have to make sure to take precautions on explosions. And this could possibly happen with glass bottles. So what I usually do is, say if I'm brewing maybe 6 bottles or 10 bottles or so, 1 or 2 of those bottles, I'll also funnel some of the ginger beer into plastic water bottles. And once the water bottle's pressurized, you can kind of gauge how far the brew has gone, and once the plastic bottles are rock solid, you can probably be guaranteed that the rest of the bottles are pretty rock solid also. It might even be done, so then you want to crack one of them open just to see if it's actually carbonated enough. And once it's carbonated to your liking, then you can store it in the refrigerator to stop the fermentation process. But I'll also warn you, once it's in the fridge, say if you keep it there longer than you should, the fermentation actually keeps going in the fridge, but very, very slowly. I've had a ginger beer in the refrigerator for maybe, I think it was 6 months or a year, and then later it took me about 10 minutes to open it because it was so pressurized. There was just so much carbonation in there, it just wanted to blow off like a champagne bottle. So like I said before, just be careful with pressurized glass jars and fermentation. The other option you have, instead of just bottling it for a few days, you can actually put it into, say, like a carboy or some kind of closed glass jar and put an airlock on it, which is that kind of plastic or glass lock that homebrewers use to let off carbonation but doesn't let in any kind of oxygen or any other air into the fermenting vessel. And the reason you would want to do this, say you let it ferment completely out, you can actually ferment off all of the sugar, and then if you want to bottle it and have it stable, once you siphon it off into bottles, then you can put maybe about a teaspoon or so of sugar, and then it'll restart the fermentation process just with that little bit amount of sugar, and then carbonate it just enough so when you open the bottle, you'll just get that little bit of carbonation. Now, if you are going to ferment it all the way out and get rid of all the sugar, the alcohol content actually is going to be higher, so people that don't want a lot of alcohol, you have to be wary about that. If you want a little bit of alcohol or almost no alcohol, just make sure to only ferment it for, say, like a few days. So that's actually the process of making ginger beer. Now, if you want to make, say, some other kind of lacto-fermented soda, you know exactly how to do that now. It's the exact same process. The only difference is just the different syrups that you use. So you can almost think about other lacto-fermented sodas as just another variation on somewhat of like a ginger beer. So say you want to make a different soda that tastes different, that has more of a citrusy flavor, you can use many other different things or other fruits or berries. So just some ideas, you can substitute for the ginger in there, the ginger pulp that you boiled up, you can substitute, say, like orange, lemon, lime, pineapple, mango, kiwi, strawberry, blueberry, blackberry, raspberry, many different types of fruits. You can even use, say, like the peels. If you want to get the zest off like an orange, a lemon, or a lime, just zest it up, boil that up, and you'll get the concentrated flavor. I've even used different herbs like mint or lemon balm or lemon verbena. You can even try some of the, say, the different kitchen spices like basil, oregano, parsley. One time I even made a kombucha out of rosemary. That was kind of interesting. It didn't add that much flavor, but I mean, that little bit of flavor was there. You can even change it up and put different spices in there, say like cinnamon, clove, nutmeg, even crazy things like cayenne powder, or some unorthodox flavors like chili powder. I even have in my fridge right now, there's a chili pepper beer that I haven't tried yet. I can't wait to see what that tastes like. Say you're making other sodas, you can even experiment with a different base. So say you shred up sweet potatoes and ferment that into something called a sweet potato fly or a sweet potato beer. And that's a really good Christmas drink that goes over very well. And that one has, it's just shredded sweet potato that's been fermented, and you add the cinnamon, cloves, and nutmeg. And it always goes over pretty well at parties. Everybody finds it very interesting. And you can even experiment with other vegetables and aromatics, like even crazy things like onions and garlic, just to see what it tastes like. You just never know what you're going to come across. The flavor combinations are almost endless. And that's just the syrup part of the equation. You could actually take and do like a secondary fermentation where, say, the soda is completely done, you haven't carbonated it yet, you can actually add fresh fruit to it and a little bit more sugar, and then ferment it again to get a stronger, fresher fruit flavor in there. But you just have to be careful. When you're adding fresh fruit and a little bit more sugar, it's going to be a lot more vigorous and a lot more violent of a carbonation. So just be careful. If you're going to bottle that, just be very aware of the explosion possibility, and always make sure you have a plastic fermenting vessel to go along with that so you can gauge how pressurized the ferments actually are. So I hope I've given you some great ideas and given you the confidence to go out and try to make some of this fresh ginger beer or some fresh lacto-fermented soda. Once you try it, you'll be completely surprised at how good it is, and it'll be hard to ever buy a regular soda again. Everything I covered today will be in the show notes, and I invite you guys to come out to fermentationpodcast.com and leave some comments on today's show just to let me know what you think or if you have any questions. Also, don't forget to subscribe and get updates of new shows and blog posts by email. This has been Paul Bates encouraging you to change your life, ferment responsibly, and get out there and create some culture.